In Xanadu did Kubla Khan a stately pleasure dome decree, where Alph the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man, down to a sunless sea.
That was a section of a poem written by Samuel Taylor Coleridge while under the influence of opium. It's one of many pieces of literature or music which has involved psychoactive substances. Robert Louis Stevenson reportedly wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde while on a six-day cocaine binge. And sci-fi author Philip K. Dick wrote loads of his books while on amphetamines. So when did our love affair with these substances begin?
It's hard to say when people first started taking drugs, because it goes way back before recorded history.
That's Mike Jay, historian and writer, who agreed to take me back through the history of drug use.
It seems very likely that taking drugs was something we were doing before we were human. If you look at animals, there are lots of animals that take drugs. For medical reasons, they eat poisonous grasses to kill intestinal parasites, for example. But there are also lots of animals who seek out intoxicating drugs. Cats, for example, chewing catnip. Birds or elephants, which will go long distances to seek out fermented, rotting fruit and eat it in large quantities and get drunk. And when you get closer to humans, apes and monkeys, for example, use all kinds of drugs in the wild. So it's highly likely, I think, that this was something that we were doing before we became human. And that would explain why pretty much every human culture throughout history and around the world has used intoxicating drugs in some form.
When did the first archaeological evidence for drug use start to appear?
There's archaeological evidence for the use of drugs going back thousands of years. In the Americas, for example, there are dried quids of chewed coca leaf containing cocaine, which seem to go back several thousand years, maybe 10,000 years. By about 4,000 years ago, you're starting to find artifacts like pipes made of hollowed out animal bones, which have residues of intoxicating plants and seeds in them. And in the old world, in Europe and Asia, the oldest evidence is for the use of opium heads and dried poppy heads. And then at the very beginning of writing, Egyptian papyri, medical papyri like the Ebers papyrus, record the use of drugs. And then when you get to the classical era, Greek literature, people like Dioscorides write about plants and drugs and pharmacy in great detail.
What's clear is that people have been indulging for years, and for many different reasons. There's evidence people use drugs in spiritual and religious ceremonies, medically and, much like today, to help stay awake or for social situations. The first evidence of advising against drug use came from ancient Egypt in 2000 BC, when a priest wrote to his pupil, "I, thy superior, forbid thee to go to the taverns. Thou art degraded like beasts." But these kind of warnings haven't stopped drugs from spreading across the world.
The sort of global drug trade that we have now started really about 500 years ago, around the time of Columbus. If you go back before then, you'd find a world where in, say, Thailand or Malaysia, people are chewing betel nut, and in the Andes, they're chewing coca leaves, and in different parts of the world, people are taking different things. What you get from that point on, really the beginning of global trade, is around these kind of substances that we don't quite think of as drugs anymore, but things like tobacco and sugar and tea and coffee. The global network that emerged after the discovery of the Americas about 500 years ago, you start to see these kind of items being traded, particularly things like tobacco and sugar, you know, really made up the first layer of what we now regard as sort of global trading routes.
During the 19th century, scientists started extracting pure forms of the chemicals from natural drugs. Coca leaf went to cocaine, opium became morphine. These drugs weren't seen as luxuries or bad habits, but medicine. It sounds bizarre, but you could go and get morphine from the local pharmacy. And cocaine was an ingredient in Coca-Cola until 1903. But slowly it did start to become clear that these drugs could do some serious damage.
People started to realise by the mid-19th century, when drugs were being used quite widely, that substances like opium were dangerous. It was very easy to overdose on them. It was the same time that people started to be concerned about alcohol and the health consequences of alcohol, which led to the temperance movement and eventually to alcohol prohibition. So from about the mid-19th century, you start to get initially regulations like the Pharmacy Act in Britain in 1868, which stipulated that certain poisonous substances, including opium, could only be sold by registered dealers and so on. So that was the way in which drug use was controlled until pretty much exactly 100 years ago, during the First World War, in the Defence of the Realm Act, was the first time in Britain that substances like morphine and cocaine were prohibited from open sale. And by that time you had, in the United States, the Harrison Act of 1914, which was an act that controlled the supply of narcotics. So the actual drugs as illegal banned substances, that story is about 100 years old now.
Thanks very much to author, curator and historian Mike Jay for that trip through history.
You're here with The Naked Scientists, with me, Connie Orbach, and Georgia Mills. And this week, we're exploring the science of psychoactive substances.
Later on, we'll be looking at how Portugal have reduced their health cost from drug abuse and hear about scientists who've started using ecstasy, completely legally.
But before that, let's head back to the brain and hear what actually happens when you take heroin.